This is Dr. Kevin Palmer for PFD Medical. We will be looking today at an article from the Journal of Foot and Ankle Surgery from September and October of 2015. This article is titled "The Current Concepts in the Management of Ankle Osteoarthritis." This article is written by Dr. Bloch, B-L-O-C-H, and this is out of the UK. In this study, they searched, using a literature search for title ankle arthritis. This search revealed over 1,000 studies, case studies, small case series, studies not directly related to the treatment of ankle OA, and articles written in languages other than English were excluded. They evaluated a total of 87 studies discussing various treatment options for ankle arthritis with potential advantages and disadvantages. A little background on ankle arthritis. Most ankle OA develops after trauma, 78%. The rest of it appears to be idiopathic. So let's jump right into this non-operative treatment. The first one discussed is glucosamine sulfate. Glucosamine sulfate has been tried and true in the treatment of knee OA. This has been well established. It has also been expanded now to include ankle arthritis. It is used as a chondroprotective agent, which may slow the progression of cartilage wear. There is not great results thus far, so additional research needs to be performed. Next topic is visco supplementation. Hyaluronic acid is a type of high molecular weight polysaccharide molecule known as glycosaminoglycan. This attracts water molecules and is the most abundant glycosaminoglycan in synovial fluid. The perceived mechanism of action include an anti-inflammatory effect by reducing inflammatory cell migration and concentration of inflammatory mediators. Additionally, this stimulates endogenous HA synthesis, has a chondroprotective effect, and analgesic activity by inhibiting nociceptors and the inhibition of cartilage degrading enzymes. Again, there is very little high quality evidence investigating hyaluronic acid and visco supplementation. In one study, which is a prospective randomized controlled trial of intraarticular hyaluronic acid compared with exercise therapy, that did not show any significant differences between the two groups at a 12-month follow-up. An additional study looking at 3 hyaluronic acid injections at 1-week intervals showed favorable results. Again, additional studies need to be performed on this. The next topic is joint preserving surgery. This includes debridement, chondroplasty, and resection of osteophytes or chylectomy. The indication for this type of procedure is a well-aligned ankle joint with some preservation of cartilage space in a patient who's not prepared to undergo a major reconstructive procedure. This can be used as an adjunct to other procedures such as distraction arthroplasty or realignment osteotomy. Arthroscopic osteophyte resection can be indicated for isolated anterior impingement. Arthroscopic debridement for mild anterior impingement and ankle arthritis will be more effective than for advanced diffuse ankle arthritis. Distraction arthroplasty is indicated for end-stage ankle OA with near normal alignment in young patients. This is best performed utilizing a ring external fixator. Adding a hinge construct will allow intermittent motion for chondroprotective function when it is unlocked. It can be combined with additional joint debridement and osteophyte resection, tendo-Achilles lengthening, supramalleolar osteotomy, clinical mechanism is not well understood, but it is thought that the distraction unloads the cartilage and leads to reduction in bone density, including sclerosis. One study showed approximately 75% clinical benefit in their case series compared to debridement only at 1 year. Another study showed 73% significant clinical benefit, and this was maintained up to 7 years. A realignment osteotomy is the next procedure discussed. This is indicated for patients with malalignment, localized osteoarthritis, or a malunited ankle or pilon fracture. This should be restricted to patients with minimal Taylor tilt and a neutral or varus heel alignment. Realignment osteotomy is usually fixated with internal or external fixation. Internal fixation requires accurate intraoperative correction and postoperative protective weight bearing. External fixation allows for early weight bearing with the possibility of fine-tuning the correction, but the sacrifices that come with this include potential complications of external fixation. Additionally, difficult stabilization or possible refracture of this site. Results of realignment osteotomy were generally good. One study, though, included a 29% revision rate. Unipolar or bipolar shelf allograft. This is a procedure indicated for end-stage ankle arthritis with minimal malalignment for a well-vascularized distal tibia and Taylor dome. This is generally reserved for younger patients only. Procedure should be avoided in immunocompromised patients, non-compliant patients, smokers, or patients who cannot tolerate immunosuppressive medications. The largest case series of 29 patients, they demonstrated a high failure rate with only 31% of patients having a successful outcome. Given limited good quality published data, the evidence is insufficient to suggest unipolar or bipolar allograft transplantation as an established treatment modality at the present time. Joint sacrificing surgery, which includes ankle arthrodesis. This remains the reference standard for treatment of pain and deformity secondary to post-traumatic arthritis. This is also indicated for previous infection, osteochondral defects, osteonecrosis of the talus, idiopathic osteoarthritis, and inflammatory arthropathy, including rheumatoid arthritis. Arthrodesis can also be utilized as a salvage procedure after a non-union of previous arthrodesis or as a revision of total ankle arthroplasty, either with or without supplementary fixation adjuncts such as trabecular metal or cage fixation devices. Ankle arthrodesis procedure. A traditional approach has been an anterior one. There is additionally a posterior approach which can be used as salvage procedure, or if there are ankle wounds that compromise soft tissue envelope. Lateral transmalleolar approach allows excellent exposure to the ankle joint. However, this requires either excision or osteosynthesis of the lateral malleolus. Alternatives to traditional open ankle arthrodesis include a mini arthrotomy or arthroscopically assisted percutaneous fusion. Arthroscopic ankle arthrodesis has been shown to have excellent union rates and shorter intervals to union. Can also have significant cost benefits in terms of reducing the length of stay in a hospital. Optimum position of a fused ankle is well established with approximately 5-degree hindfoot valgus. Ankle should be at neutral dorsiflexion, and the leg should be approximately 5 to 10% externally rotated, and the talus should be positioned posteriorly. The talus should be positioned posteriorly on the tibia. Internal fixation of an ankle fusion has generally been a more reliable fusion without the inconvenience of an external frame or device. This also lowers the incidence of postoperative complications such as infection, wound healing problems, delayed union, and non-union. Arthroscopically assisted technique, fusion rates around 87 have been reported. Traditionally, cross screws have been utilized. However, other screw orientations are possible, including a parallel screw technique, which has been reported to show fusion rates of up to 95%. Other options include anatomically contoured plates. Custom blade plates can also be used. Fusion with an external Ilazarov frame or a Taylor spatial frame. Circular frames have their complications, as mentioned before. These can include pin tract infections, soft tissue infections. Patients can be reluctant to wear a frame for such a long period of time, averaging approximately 22.3 weeks to fusion, although this can be a useful technique for patients with complex cases, including bone defects, infection, or shortening. Although ankle fusion has been associated with a high rate of non-union infections and amputation, recent studies have shown good functional outcome with low complication rates. One study reported up to a 95% primary fusion rate at 3 years. It's frequently noted that with ankle fusion, the patient will lose range of motion, although the remainder of the joints in the foot, particularly midfoot and subtalar joints, will maintain some degree of plantar flexion, dorsiflexion. Average decrease in range of motion after an ankle fusion is approximately 30.9 degrees compared to a non-fused ankle. There will be some gait asymmetry from an ankle fusion. There will often be hyperextension of the knee, early heel lift. And as a result of this, the forces through the midfoot will be increased at the late stance phase. Long-term outcome of arthrodesis have also included problems of progression of arthritis in other joints of the foot, particularly the subtalar joint. Interestingly, one study reported that patients undergoing ankle arthrodesis generally have pre-existing mid and hind foot osteoarthritic changes already. Total ankle arthroplasty has been in existence since the 1970s. Early results were somewhat disappointing, failure rates up to 72% at 10 years. The more modern implant generally has either a two or three component to allow for sliding or rotation about the ankle joint. The ankle joint allows for 6 degrees to 12 degrees of rotation at the tibiotalar joint, and the forces acting on the ankle are 64% greater than those across the knee, 45% greater than those across the hip, with a surface area of one-third that of the knee or hip. As with many procedures, patient selection is key for total ankle arthroplasty. Indications for arthroplasty are narrow. Easier to define are contraindications. These include infection, neuropathic joint disease, Taylor osteonecrosis, severe malalignment, vascular or soft tissue compromise. Ankle arthroplasty is generally reserved for older, lower demand patients with bilateral disease or adjacent degenerative joint disease and reasonably preserved range of motion. 5-year survival rates were generally up to 78 to 96% with a Scandinavian total ankle implant, and at the 10-year survival rate, up to 80 to 90%. Increased satisfaction rates associated with ankle implants are generally associated with someone over 60 years old and a BMI of less than 30. Failure has primarily been due to aseptic loosening, malalignment, and instability. Tibial stress fractures have also been implicated. In a New Zealand study, they noted that there was a 5% increase in the risk of failure from a prolonged operative time. One of the theoretic benefits of ankle arthroplasty is to preserve range of motion. Arthroplasty improves range of motion and gait compared with the osteoarthritic ankle. Arthroplasty also improves ankle power and walking velocity. It also allows hip and knee motion to maintain a more normal activity. Failed ankle arthroplasty is a significant problem, with an increase in the rate of primary total ankle replacements. We would only expect an increase in the number of revisions. This can be a very challenging procedure. There are often problems such as low bone stock, poor vascularity, poor quality of soft tissues, relative lack of revision implants, contributing to the difficulties. It should be known that most patients who underwent arthrodesis rather than revision of ankle arthroplasty, amputation for an infected ankle arthroplasty is a rare but possible outcome. Little information has been published on the long-term outcomes of revisional ankle arthroplasty. Arthrodesis following ankle arthroplasty can be technically difficult. However, after total ankle arthroplasty, shortening of the leg can occur from bone loss. To counter the problem of bone loss, femoral head allograft and a tibial allograft calcaneal fusion with a retrograde intramedullary nail has been proposed. Use of trabecular metal cages from Zimmer is gaining popularity. This can also be used for ankle defects. Additionally, there is a SynMesh cage from Synthes. This can be filled with a morselized bone graft. Both techniques have been used in conjunction with intramedullary hindfoot fusion nail. A Lazarev technique can also be utilized. In conclusion, there has been no randomized controlled trials to compare total ankle arthroplasty versus ankle arthrodesis. However, the rate of complications was increased with arthroplasty compared to arthrodesis, again demonstrating that the higher volume surgeons performing these complicated cases will achieve better results. The economics of ankle arthroplasty versus arthrodesis have also been examined. Arthroplasty has been found to be cost-effective despite more expensive implants and a longer follow-up period. Thank you again for listening to this podcast. Hopefully you've gained some valuable insight into the concept of ankle arthritis with some various treatment modalities. My name is Dr. Kevin Palmer for PFD Medical. Please tune in again. Thank you.